And now we're going to play a track from Magical Mystery Tour, which is one of my favourite albums because it was so weird. I Am the Walrus, one of my favourite tracks because I did it, of course, but also because it's one of those that has enough little biddies going to keep you interested even 100 years later.
That was the voice of John Lennon. Well, not 100 years, but 50 years ago this week, the Beatles released in the United States Magical Mystery Tour. Music writer and critic Douglas Wolk joins us now. He recently wrote an article in Rolling Stone about the legacy and influence of Magical Mystery Tour. Douglas, thanks a lot for joining us. Hello, I should say.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
So tell us the story behind the Magical Mystery Tour movie slash album.
Well, it was a movie before it was an album. What we know of as the Magical Mystery Tour album was not even conceived of as an album. It was the soundtrack to the movie plus some other songs that kind of got thrown together for the American market. After the Beatles finished putting together Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in the spring of 1967, they decided that since they were, you know, in what pop musicians sometimes call the imperial phase, that they were on top of the world, everything they did was a hit, nothing could possibly go wrong, they were going to make a movie that was going to be like a mystery tour, which is a bus tour where you get on, you don't know where it's going to take you. And they were just going to film some stuff, and it was going to be great because it was going to be the Beatles, and everything they did was awesome. So they spent a while sort of driving a bus around England and filming some stuff, and then they thought, okay, well, we've never made the movie by ourselves directing it before, but this will take us like a week or so to edit, right? Ended up taking them almost 3 months to edit, and they came up with this movie, Magical Mystery Tour, which is really kind of a mess. And it aired on British TV right after Christmas 1967, and it was filmed in color, but for some reason it was broadcast in black and white, and nobody really knew what to make of it. And nobody really knows what to make of it to this day. It's a very, very strange little movie. The soundtrack, on the other hand, is a gorgeous thing. It has the songs we were just playing bits of. It has Magical Mystery Tour. It has I'm the Walrus. It has Your Mother Should Know. Just a gorgeous, wonderful, wonderful songs.
Well, we put a survey up, you can get to it on the Central Time Facebook page, asking people to pick their favorite song, their favorite track from Magical Mystery Tour. Here's number one among our listeners, at least as of a couple hours ago, Strawberry Fields.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real.
And I can see why people would like this one, Douglas. It's sweet in some ways and nostalgic and weird and psychedelic all like in the same moment.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a famous story about how that song was recorded, which is that John Lennon, who had written most of the song, and George Martin, the producer, and the Beatles recorded one version of it that was kind of an acoustic version, and they weren't so sure about that one, so they recorded an orchestrated version with like a full orchestra playing. It was a different tempo, and then John said, "No, I want to have like sort of like this one, but sort of like that one. Can you put the two recordings together?" Well, No, they were recorded in different keys. They were recorded in different tempos. What are you going to do? And George Martin slowed down one and sped up the other and found that they matched up perfectly.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That is not standard for people who don't do this sort of thing. That is not standard operating procedure, right?
It's really, really, really not. And it's just magically good luck that it happened to work. And it worked.
Well, another one, Penny Lane is another one that I liked. I remember liking as a kid, you know, in my parents' album collection, again with that sort of nostalgic theme. Here's a little listen to Penny Lane.
Penny Lane is in my ear and in my eyes.
And then in the verse, you're kind of almost wandering through town a little bit. Was this more of a McCartney one than a Lennon one?
It was more of a McCartney one than a Lennon one, but it was named actually after a part of Liverpool where Lennon had lived when he was a kid. And Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields together were released as a single. actually before Sgt. Pepper's. They were supposed to be on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And then at the beginning of 1967, the Beatles record company said, we really need a single, what you got? And with reluctance, they pulled off those two songs. And those two songs then ended up on the Magical Mystery Tour album, which came out at the end of 1967, which the American version of the album was the soundtrack to the Magical Mystery Tour movie, plus just a bunch of other songs that the Beatles had been working on that year.
It's amazing to think back. Okay, they're working on the stuff that ends up on Magical Mystery Tour while they're working on Sgt. Pepper and other stuff. Looking back at the time frame in which all of this stuff came out, it was a really short period of incredible creativity, wasn't it?
Really short and unbelievably short. You know, All You Need Is Love, that was premiered when the Beatles performed on a broadcast called One World, which was the first worldwide satellite broadcast everywhere in the world. That show aired less than 4 weeks after Sgt. Pepper's came out, and they already thought, okay, we have to write a new song for this. We have an album. It's almost a month old already. We'll write a new song. And that was All You Need Is Love.
Here's a little listen. Okay, so I don't like to use the word iconic, Douglas, but this is kind of an iconic Beatles song, and they just whipped it out in 4 weeks.
Yeah. Brian Epstein, their manager, came to them and said, hey, I have this great news. I've signed you up to do a performance on the show One World. And they said, you didn't ask us first. And the story goes that a couple of weeks before the broadcast, he came to John Lennon again and said, like, you know, we need a song for that broadcast. And Lennon was like, all right, fine, I'll write something. And wrote All You Need Is Love.
We're talking to Douglas Wolk. He wrote a Rolling Stone piece on Magical Mystery Tour, the Beatles album, 50th anniversary of that album being released in the U.S. this week. You can take a survey, pick your favorite track from that album. You can do that over, there's a link on the Central Time Facebook page or find it at WPR.org. What's maybe a lesser, you know, not one of the top songs on there that you like, Douglas, that has a good story behind it?
I really like that strange song, I'm the Walrus, which was one of John's favorites of his songs on there. It has this arrangement that's so complicated. It's got all these parts going on, and then it has stuff that's completely random. Like there's a voice that is a little bit of Shakespeare's play King Lear near the end of the song that just happened to be on the radio then. They're like, all right, let's put some noise in, let's turn on the radio. Great, King Lear's on, that goes in. And that's kind of a reflection of the sorts of things that the avant-garde composer John Cage was interested in. And Cage had worked with Yoko Ono, who was then a brand new friend of John Lennon's.
Here's a little bit of I Am the Walrus.
I am the Eggman. They are the Eggman. I am the Walrus. Mr. City Policeman sitting pretty little policeman.
And Douglas, if four random dudes had done this at that time, would people have given it the time of day? Did we give it the time of day because it was the Beatles and they had this track record and we'd go where they led us?
You know, the Beatles were the biggest band in the world at that time. Everything they did was assumed to be gold. There were a lot of other people who, in the wake of Sgt. Pepper's, in the wake of Magical Mystery Tour, started making music that was very similar in a lot of ways, but the Beatles are really where they got it from. Like that is the origin of this giant wave of psychedelic music that followed it.
And Douglas, I was looking at, you know, people rating the top Beatles albums, and Magical Mystery Tour not usually in the top three. Where do you put it in the pantheon of Beatles releases?
I mean, it's hard to rank things that are all really, really great. It's not my absolute favorite, just in part because it was not conceived of as an album. It was just a bunch of stuff that they had lying around, and they put a record out of it. But it's a lovely record. I'm always happy to listen to it. It's not the first one I reach for, but if I turn on the radio and one of those songs are on, I'm going to turn it up.
And how about the movie? Is it worth going back and watching if we hadn't seen it before? And for those of us who didn't grow up with the Beatles, is it worth a look?
The movie, maybe not so much. The movie has some interesting things about it. There's a very interesting band called the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, who are friends of the Beatles, who appear in it playing a song called Death Cab for Cutie, which is where the band Death Cab for Cutie gets their name from. But it really is kind of a mess. I think the day after the Magical Mystery Tour movie came out, Paul McCartney was interviewed and said something to the effect of like, here's the quote, you got to do everything with a point or an aim, but we tried this one without anything, with no point and no aim. That's kind of how it went.
And it wasn't too long after this, Brian Epstein, as you mentioned, he'd been their business manager, he passed away, and that left the Beatles managing not just the creative side, but the business side. And that's where it really kind of went south.
It really is. And so much was happening just in those weeks. You know, 3 days before Brian Epstein died was the first time that the Beatles met Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who sort of filled that role as the center of their lives for the year or so after that. Everything happened very quickly then. It's amazing.
We'll leave it there. Douglas, thank you so much for joining us and sharing some of these stories today.
Thank you.
That was music critic Douglas Wolk. We've been talking about the 50th anniversary of the Beatles album Magical Mystery Tour. You can still share your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page, and you can join in our poll for your favorite song from the album. Again, last I checked, Strawberry Fields Forever was out in front, but you can go in and pick your favorite as well.